Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Well, in the first half of the show, comedian Ian Bagg swings by and we talk about our harrowing experience at the Houston Comedy Club. Crazy stories. News in the first half as well. First, I'll tell you about Geico. Do you own, do you rent your home? Well, you do one or the other. And then there's your insurance, like your automotive policy. Why don't you bundle it up? Take your homeowner's or your renter's insurance and get your bundle going with Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's and renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because they already have so much to do around your home. So go to geico.com, get a quote, and see just how much you could save at geico.com.
Have you heard about innovation on the edge with Microsoft Edge? It's a weekly podcast that explores the cutting edge of internet innovation and pop culture trends. Each week, we'll dig into how people are currently using the web to innovate, notable ways in which it's evolving, what its future might look like, and how we can create the future together. Welcome, curious creators, disruptors, and innovators to Innovation on the Edge. Listen and download now at Podcast One, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
From Carolla One Studios in Glendale, California, this is the Adam Carolla Show. Adam's guest today, Jesse Waters. With Gina Grad on news, Bald Brian on sound effects, and Ian Bagg joins us for a new true crime segment, The Body Bag. And now, disrupting whiteness, Adam Carolla.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on. Mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that about you, right, Gina Grad?
That's right.
And Bald Brian.
I am douche director. Name my new autobiography.
We will bring in Ian Bagg when he lands, and we'll talk to him about true crime and comedy and everything else.
I'm so excited.
I got a bunch of stuff waiting for you guys. I had... Two weird thoughts, not related. One is, when I grew up, they had the same basic problems we have today, in the sense that in the 70s, they're talking a lot about fuel and carbon, and they're talking a lot about the environment. People forget how much environmental talk there was in the 70s. It was a huge, it was called ecology back then, but there was a lot of discussion. Now,
isn't that where they came up with, I think that I shall never see a smokestack lovely as a tree?
Yeah, there was a lot of that. There was a lot of Indians crying by the side of the road. They sort of had everything wrong because I think there was an ice age that was coming instead of a global warming. Right. But whatever it was ecology and no nukes and all that kind of stuff. But there used to be a lot of discussions. Now, this isn't maybe an LA thing. Fuel was a big issue and traffic was a big issue. And there was a lot of carpooling discussions. Mm. Tons of carpool. We never stopped talking about carpooling. You got to carpool. You got to get everyone together and start a carpool.
Yeah.
They would talk about starting a carpool like starting a book club. Like you got, you know, if you work and you work with more than eight people, then you got to start working out a carpool. My grandmother was in a carpool.
With that poor, miserable driver.
It's so funny that she was such a bohemian European and she got picked up by Dwight Yoakam's brother, essentially in a pickup truck of all things. And, you know, probably crank up the Merle Haggard and probably talk to him. He'd probably talk about how much he loved squirrel hunting.
You can drop me off a block down, not right in front of the door.
It added to the irony and the misery of the woman, but nonstop carpool talk. I don't really hear any carpool talk anymore. There's talks about transportation and things of that nature. Yeah. There used to be a lot of Diamond Lane talk. Yeah, we don't really talk about HOV or high occupancy vehicle lane or whatever. It was this whole thing. It was pushed hard for a good decade. And it didn't catch on or something?
It kind of did, because you know how leftovers became meal prep? Did carpool become rideshare?
Mm. I
basically pay to carpool by getting an Uber?
I don't know, but it just never... It is not discussed like it used to
be. Oh, no. The word carpool doesn't exist. Nobody talks about it.
I feel like you're onto something, but I think it's the advent of the electric car. Maybe that's sort of tamped down the carpool talk.
But the carpool talk was raging in the mid-70s, made it into the mid-80s, started to trickle off around the mid-80s, was gone by 2004 or something, and... That predated the electric car.
When were the diamond lanes invented? I feel like since I've been here.
It's one of those things where I'm going to say it's been 40 years. That I would say out here probably early 80s, mid 80s. Or
something. I remember them from the mid 90s.
It's been a while.
That was the incentive people needed, and then they stopped talking about it.
I guess
to go in the fast lane, which isn't really fast.
But the diamond lane frequently stops at the same pace that all the other traffic. I still, when the left lane of the freeway comes to an utter halt, I marvel every time. I like nobody's turning left.
Yep.
Nobody is you know going on to a side street. Like I get that we're slow in the left lane. How do we come to an complete and utter stop? And then you go, well, maybe there was an accident or something. We stopped.
Rarely. It's just
4 o'clock. And then we started moving again. Yeah. And then we stopped. Yep. And we're in the left lane. Yep. How does this work? Anyway, I also had an unrelated thought, which is, maybe some of you youngins can think about it. I was driving Natalia to her volleyball practice because she's made the varsity team.
Woo-hoo!
In high school. Was very pumped up about it.
Is she a sophomore? You probably don't know the answer.
Yeah,
is she
know.
A sophomore?
She's going to be 15, so she's probably
going
be
into
a-
the 10th grade.
Yeah. She's going to be a sophomore.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
It's pretty good.
I've seen some of those Instagram stories. She's out for blood when she plays.
I said to her when I was driving her, I said, look, there is no planning for anything. I love playing Pop Warner football. A few days earlier, I wrote down the name of many of my old coaches who I recall throughout the years and what an impact they made in my life and something. I will tell anyone who will listen that the biggest and most positive thing that ever happened to me was Pop Warner football, and that I wish it for my son.
Mm. You never mention on the show. You should bring it up once in a while. Well, if it's that impactful.
Did I play Pop Warner?
Yeah, yeah.
What's Pop Warner now?
It sounds like it was a big deal in your life. That's the first time hearing it.
Yeah, I got to Google it.
Oh, I got to write that down.
Yeah, I'm not sure what that means.
Yeah. Just put it on your screen.
But my son wants nothing to do with it.
Right.
Never did. Didn't even try. And my daughter's the jock.
Yeah.
And, I'm red-blooded chauvinist. I thought the boy's going to play Pop Warner football and the girl will do whatever the girl does in sports, but or nothing. Like, who
cheerlead.
Cares? She'll cheerlead. He'll play. He'll play football. He did nothing and will do nothing. He was sleeping with Phil when I was driving her to her practice. And I thought, can't plan anything.
Yeah. No.
You just, people are who they are.
Water
they go the way they go.
Yep.
This thing, this impress upon thing, this thing where, oh, you're dead. You know, the number one thing is if you're a carpenter or a bit of a mechanic like I am, it's always, well, your dad must have dragged you down to the garage. I was like, no.
Far from it.
Far from it.
Yeah,
the opposite.
I wonder if your grandfather was, because Sonny's sure not. So does it skip a generation? So maybe your grandchild will care.
It's a recessive gene.
Right.
You know,
it's dormant.
People are just interested in shit or not.
And water reaches
that
level.
That's about it.
Yeah.
We keep doing this thing where it's like we must expose everyone to classical music so they'll learn to play the viola. It's like, not if they don't want to play. Mm. That's how it goes. All right.
That's pretty awesome, though. Christy did varsity to 4 years of varsity,
of course,
but that's pretty awesome. The athletic girl, not just athletic. I don't mean it like in a physical way. I just mean like the go getter. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like the badass who's like, I'm gonna play fucking varsity sports as a sophomore.
Yeah,
which
she could,
can be hard.
She could for sure get a college scholarship.
Yeah, I told her.
Don't include the part about burning homework in the pool.
Oh yeah.
If you. Even if you ride the pine next year, I don't know if she knows that reference, but it doesn't matter. You're on the varsity team. That's the key. Time passes quickly. You'll start your junior and senior year.
Yeah, you're all I got.
All right. We had, I saw this broadcast or this news story about South Korean broadcasting. The Parade of Nations, they're getting into some trouble. I don't know if you guys saw this, but as the teams were entering the stadium, the Olympic Stadium.
I did watch that.
They did this thing in, on the South Korean broadcast where they were like, it's Italy. And then they'd show like a pizza because that's what they're known for. Now, first things first.
It's not Italian pizza.
Here comes Israel.
Well, I don't know if you guys can imagine how this works, but there's the Italian team, and they show a margarita, or it looks like a margarita pizza, some weird pizza. The point is as I was looking at it...
It's got black olives. It's like a Domino's pizza.
I thought, well, first off, the Italian team looks like they have a pizza on their chest.
Yes.
Good point.
Yeah. I mean, it looks like they have a margarita pizza on their chest. So if you want to live down that stereotype. But it wasn't this that upset people. Well, I don't know. Is there sound to this or just want to play?
It's all been scrubbed. It's not even in English.
You can you can show the next one. Then they have this. Swedish? Norway.
No,
salmon? They show a piece of fish. Okay. Well, I guess
not
so.
Not necessary, but
fishing
okay.
Country.
Then they...
What is that? What? That can't
be
real.
This is Haiti.
No.
Oh, my God.
That's not real.
And what it says is they're known for upheaval. The political situation is fogged by the assassination of the president.
There's Haiti is like a burning car and protesters out in the street throwing bottles.
Yeah, upheaval.
It's masked protesters walking towards the camera with black smoke billowing behind them.
And if you want to spin this, you could say known for revolution, known for rising up, but upheaval, and this looks like chaos.
Yeah.
No,
well,
whoa.
Then there's another one, which is it Ukraine? The Ukraine, they show them entering, and they show Chernobyl.
Is that a meltdown? Oh, Osgus?
Yeah.
That's Chernobyl.
It's a meltdown.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Yeah. But
keeping it honest.
They ain't woke, and it's kind of what they're known for. It's
there's
a little on the nose.
Too, like Marshall Islands. Was once a nuclear test site for the U.S.
That's right.
Now composed of over 1,200
throwing
islands.
Shade.
Wow.
El Salvador, they just put a Bitcoin thing.
Really?
Yeah. And then Sweden, they wrote developed country of welfare. But then there was a typo in developed country, which actually turned it into cow blood soup.
It's good.
So, look, we may complain about Fox and CNN over here, but we ain't that.
Was ours like a rootin' tootin' cowboy, or what was America?
Yeah, I'm dying to know.
Oh, that's a good question. I never looked in that. Is Ian Bagg here, by the way? Well, why don't we escort Ian in and we can look for America.
I mean... We got a lot of choices. Do they want to go, you know, Trump? Do they want to go...
Land of guns.
Right. Do they want to go, you know, the morbidly obese?
My bet's on acid rain. Ian Bagg is here, everybody.
Hey, how are you?
Good to see you, Ian.
Good to see you guys.
It's been, 2.5 months or something.
Man. We're becoming friends.
Ian has... we'll include Ian on this conversation, but yeah, we'll see what the symbol for America is. If in fact they covered all of the countries that were entering the Olympic Stadium, Ian's got a podcast, Sword and Scale Rewind. Mm-hmm. It's with Matt, the Porcelain Punisher Fondelier, and he was named that many years ago. But I thought it was a creative take on what he did to the bathroom.
It's an interesting way to go with it. The Punisher.
So I was talking to Chris about a couple of crazy cases that you guys were getting into before the mics heated up. Yeah. And I think there's a couple. We'll start with the first one. The one I was interested in is a couple that were fans of yours that attended your shows ended up turning into a little murder situation.
This is interesting. So I was watching Dateline. My wife was watching Dateline.
Sure.
And I was kind of paying attention. Yeah. And I just happened to look up and I seen this girl and I was like, that's weird. And then they started talking about it. And then I'm like, holy crap, I know those people. And I went on my Facebook, and they came to shows at the Houston Improv. Mm-hmm. And I remember them, because do you remember when, would you go to the Houston Improv when it used to be like a garden restaurant beforehand?
Oh my God. Oh my God. Right. That is a crime scene story there.
He's having
that
recovered memory.
That was one of the, right? I played.
You did it badly.
Yeah. No, because that was one of those watershed moments in my life, which is. You're talking about this sort of rainforest motif. Ooh. Yeah, so there was this crazy thing. So what happened was I was in Cabo San Paradise with Jimmy and five other couples, because Jimmy did this thing where it's like celebrity auction thing, and you bid on the multi-room mansion on the beach with the chef, and you know, people handing you papaya.
Sure.
And we were watching a movie theater at night. We'd see a movie in the movie theater, and then every morning was like breakfast, and everything was spread out. The best. But I had to cut out a couple days early because I had a couple shows at the Addison Improv. And so I flew to the Addison Improv and stayed at like the Red Roof Inn across the street, where I had my choice between drinking red wine out of a mug or a plastic cup that would collapse under the pressure of my own fingers. Like it would literally collapse as you held it. And where the TV, this is a bad marker, where the TV went the same direction as the bed.
Oh, I love that.
You had to lay sideways on the bed to watch TV, because the room wasn't big enough to get it at your feet. You know?
That is the Marriott Residence Inn specialty.
Right.
That's their style right there, putting it along the side of the bed.
Right.
So lean into the TV.
This is what Adam would call out of the hot tub and into the snow.
Yes. Plane. And then we made the, I don't know, four or five hour pilgrimage from Addison to Houston in the promoter's like broken down old car. And then when we went to Houston, it was explained that this wasn't a club. It was, in fact, a crazy themed restaurant with, you know, ivy, and it was a botanical garden.
Wow.
And it was never meant to do stand-up, but some rich guy's wife said, I have this idea, and spent millions.
On the end, so one side was this crazy restaurant, but on the other side they would do magic shows. That's where the showroom was, and it was all these weird levels. Remember the tiers? And the stage was like 8 feet in the air.
I don't know if this is cool or the tackiest thing I've ever heard.
Tackiest.
Okay.
And
very Houston.
It was shared a parking lot with the world's biggest bar. The parking lot was a huge parking lot. And it was literally the world's biggest bar was next to it. And so, of course, people are just shit-faced and leaning against everyone's car and smoking out in the parking lot and fighting and gunplay. And I was like, what the fuck? And we did the show. And so people were scared to go to the club because it was in this dicey part of town. And there's this huge bar next to it with all this riffraff like floating around drunk in the parking lot. And no one wanted to go see the shows.
And it was in a floodplain. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Like they had signs up warning you if it was raining, you had to get out of that area.
It was the only – it was out of over a decade of – traveling and doing shows, it was the only time after the two shows Saturday, whatever, where Mike August like came back to the dressing room and he went, the club didn't make the guarantee. Like the guarantee was like 20 grand or something. And it's like, not even close. Like these guys are just eating it. Like there was, no, it was right at the end of that club. And I don't think people wanted to go, they wouldn't go to the club. They thought it was too dangerous. I mean, they were right. And
smash cut to Jimmy and his friends in an infinity pool.
I always use it. I know. I always use it. I know. Like if I had gone, you know, from Cabo San Lucas to Portland or Seattle or something, I could have, you know, I wouldn't have got the bends. Right. But I had to go throw myself into this pit. But this is my argument for Mike August and my argument for me. If you ever say, oh, that guy's way out of bounds, or I disagree with him or whatever. He just came backstage and he said, club owner, he guaranteed us 20. He made 10. I said, well, but the guarantee is the guarantee, right? And he's like, yeah. And I said, what do you want to do? And he said, why don't we take 15? We'll meet him in the middle. And I said, fine. Mm. And he just went and did that. So that, and that, I got home from that trip and I'm like, fuck, I don't know if I'm ever, what am I doing with my life?
That's funny.
Yeah. So I do know that club.
Do you remember, did you sell
Minnesota, August 27th.
Did you sell merch there?
I do remember standing in the lobby
in
after the
trees?
Show, like amongst
in,
the trees.
Yeah, that's.
Are there pictures of that place?
I gotta see this. This sounds like the what's the hotel in Vegas that has like the, you know, the white tigers and all the shit in the lobby?
The MGM.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, once in a while they will take a. There's a repurposing that the, you know, once in a while you see what is clearly meant to be a Taco Bell from the 70s,
right.
And now a guy's serving Greek food out of it, and you're like, well, right, I can. And then once in a while, you'll see what was an IHOP, but it says tax preparation or something.
Yes, dentist office.
Like, feels weird, but okay, but nothing was weirder than doing comedy in a rainforest.
In the rainforest. And
the Mirage.
Well, the thing
Thank you. That's the one.
Wasn't there a rainforest in the cafe in the MGM as well, though? I think.
The Mirage had the tigers and the rainforest theme.
Definitely talking about the Mirage because that's where we stayed. Thank you.
Well, what for me it was when I started selling merch. I started selling merch because I had to take my gig to another level, and you had to get out and meet the people. Get out, meet the people, sell your CD. Get out there, kid. Come on, we're going to do it all. And I remember these people wouldn't leave. They just kept talking to me.
Mm-hmm.
They just kept.
They're scared
talking
to go
to
the
me.
Parking lot. The world's biggest bar was right next door.
They're hoping you'll walk them to their car.
I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I had no idea I was security, and I had to walk them out. Oh, that's how the murder happened. But and she was gorgeous, and he was playing way over his head.
Uh-huh.
That's what I remember.
Uh-huh.
And it was at that time when Facebook, you had just the personal page, so people followed you, but they became your friend. You know, they weren't following you. They were actually, it was weird, right?
Right, yeah. You're interacting for the first time.
Yeah, so they became my friend, and they would send me a Christmas card on there. They would say hi to me every once in a while, you know, and just I never paid attention to. But I remember her being stunning and him not being stunning.
He outkicked his coverage.
He didn't outkick his coverage. He got into a different stadium.
Wow. Like it was different like sport.
It was insane.
He wandered onto the field and all of a sudden.
Besides that being so memorable, was there anything about them that seemed off or one of them was nuts?
No, but I could tell they were like maybe trying to get me to go hang out.
Oh,
you know, one of those things. I was just like, okay, and I'm just like they're just talking to me.
Buy a drink and see what happens.
Yeah.
And they're just talking, and I'm like, okay, this is getting, you know, and eventually, finally, I get out of there. I just kind of slid back into a tree.
Yep.
And left.
Yeah. No, if Ted Nugent wandered into that place, he'd never leave. They could never find him.
They just couldn't. He'd be a gecko. Do you remember the green room in that place and how filthy it was?
I know right where I was sitting where Mike August walked in. I was like, this is the worst 2 days of my life.
Yeah.
Like, well, it's going to get a little worse because you're going to be 5 or 10 grand lighter in the pocket when we're done with this. I know what year I was there because the only good part about that whole Addison, Houston, whatever was Ian knows. On a Saturday, you have some downtime, like in town, and you got nowhere to be until 8 o'clock that night. And saw the movie in the theater when it came out, The Social Network.
Oh wow,
2009.
I was going to say 2008, 2010.
No, it was a little
2011.
Little toward the end, and the end of nine, or the end of nine. I think is when it was.
I really
was.
Want to say 09.
So I would,
yeah, the end Christmas. Of 09.
I would
like
say
December
I was there probably about a year before you. Like, yeah. So I just remember.
Why didn't you tell me?
Why didn't you reach out?
We weren't friends.
I saw your note in the green room, but it was too fucking late by then. Get out note.
Just, Adam, why?
So what was the case?
So I guess they were swingers.
Okay.
Wait, hold on. We have an intro that we kind of stepped on.
Oh, yeah.
There we go. Yes, we do.
Hold on, everybody. Hold on.
It's time.
There has been another murder.
For Ian Bagg's body bag.
Oh my God, I love it.
Now.
That's sexy.
You may continue.
All right. So there's these swingers, see?
Chris, you've got to find pictures of the inside of that club. They've got to be. They got to be around.
Sorry, you know, I was listening to a clip. What was the name of the club?
You know,
Addison Improv.
No, the Houston Improv.
Houston Improv.
Wait, is it the Houston Improv?
It's Houston Improv.
Yeah, it's confusing because it doesn't look like an improv. Okay. It's not an improv. It's a restaurant.
Joe Coy's assistant, or was an assistant. He was his opener forever, and I'm blanking on his name. But
Chase.
Yes, he used to run that place.
What?
Oh, really?
So, that's random.
Yeah. So
fucker owes me $5,000.
So he would have pictures of it for sure. Absolutely. So you guys know him.
I'll hit him up.
So
swingers.
So my wife's watching this, and the swingers are they're talking about that she was beautiful. She was a flight attendant. She grew up in a Texas white trash town, and her parents named her after crystal meth.
Mm-hmm.
And her name was Crystal, which caught my ear. I was like, weird.
Wow.
So and then I just kind of look over and I'm like, oh, it's. It seems familiar. And this is maybe 2 years ago. So it's.
Well, it's so wildly out of context. You wouldn't.
Yeah, it's so out of, like, just out of left field. And then I just go on my Facebook and I'm just like, I look up that name and it comes up and boom, and I recognize the picture. And I show my wife. And she goes, you fucker.
Fair.
Which is fair. I'm like, well, it's before I met you. So yeah. No, I said, no. So, but it was crazy. So he ended up. I guess getting jealous. She was meeting all these guys, and he got jealous, and he ended up murdering her. And he rode a bike to kill her.
It's always the husband. But I thought it was going to be some Bonnie and Clyde shit where she tricked him into like going on a murder spree. He just killed her.
He killed
he
her, but he rode a bike to kill her. Like he went to make it look
How
like
quaint.
It. He went and bought a bike at Walmart.
A penny farthing.
Yeah. A BMX.
I wish I would have hooked up with her after the show, and they would have killed me as long as it was Friday night.
Yeah.
Now, Saturday, no, I'm leaving the next morning. I certainly would want to be alive for that. But Friday, I would have really Save considered it a push.
How were your ticket sales Friday? That's the real question. Like, where did it all fall apart on your ticket sales?
It all fell apart on that weekend.
Was it like empty, like most shows? Or like was there one full one and one empty one? Do you remember?
I had been playing pretty sold out shows everywhere all the time. They would just keep adding shows on. I'd play three shows at Cobb's on a Thursday and stuff like that. And this time I walked out thinking, this is not my usual attendance.
Yeah.
So that's all I got out of it. I can't remember which shows were crowded and which ones weren't, but there were all.
You must have walked into that parking lot thinking, it's packed. I've done it again.
There's 7,000 trucks in the parking lot.
This is what it looks like outside.
They're all going to the bar.
Yeah, they're all going to the other one.
Where is Max Bad, the Houston bar that is like the country's biggest bar? Because you'll see that place from the outside. It's Listen, nobody loves booze more than me, but it's off-putting to see like a four-story bar.
Yeah. Too much going on.
Too much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyways, he murdered her on a BMX bike. And she was gorgeous. And he, I can't remember how they caught him, but they caught him because of receipts. He used a credit card.
How did he really?
To kill her?
He pretended she was cocaine.
Yeah, how did he kill her?
He bludgeoned her. They always
That's when you know the guy's just an angry dude. It's a crime of passion. It's not like they were fighting over a gun. When you, I've seen a lot of Dateline too.
Oh,
when
sorry.
The dude bludgeons the woman, it's a lot of times it's that sexually frustrated, pent up anger.
It's also not a good way to kill a spouse because all the first year detectives know this is a husband, this is a grudge, this is a lover, this is whoever.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Doesn't look like the robbery gone wrong.
No.
You know?
It's always that, well, she just disappeared 12 hours ago and I don't know where she went. Why are you all scratched up? Why is your face scratched up?
Yeah.
We have a cat.
As there's like boxes of Clorox and industrial fans blowing around the rugs and the couches.
There's one we're talking about today, and the guy that murdered the guy just washed the one area.
Yeah.
So it's completely filthy except for the one. So the cops come over to
tell. Where the blood stain was.
It's a body. The outline of a body's been washed. You know, that's it. They're never good. They're never good.
Oh.
Yeah.
So just so I can be clear of this, She wanted to get, she's fancy. Brian understands the reference.
Okay, let's get
it. She's fancy from the Reba McEntire song.
Brian.
She wants to be lifted out of her station.
She wants to go.
This sugar daddy guy, who's not the best looking guy in town.
Here's your one chance fancy.
But there's guy that isn't good looking that you know has got something going on.
Yeah.
But this guy's not got anything going on you can tell it's just...
I would say,
it doesn't make sense.
Well, her name was Crystal Metheny or
those
whatever.
Crystal Metheny.
Those are the most memorable couples you meet. It's not the good-looking couples or the ugly couples. It's when the couples that have like more than like 6.5 points between them. And those are the ones that always stand out. Yeah. By the way, the ones that'll... sear in your soul is the good-looking fit dude the non-good-looking fit chick.
Those That's ones, where you think the ones never, the murder's going to happen. You're just like, he's got to move on now. He's got too much testosterone. He can't be with this at all. She's just bringing him down.
Right.
Yeah. All right, Max Beck, am I making this place up?
I don't
up?
Think you're making it up, but I can't find it on the internet.
Like, that's so weird. It must have closed.
They redid it. They rebuilt it. They rebuilt it down the street, but it's in that same mall, but they added onto that mall.
Uh-huh.
And now it looks like an improv.
Now, I'll tell you, the person, the husband who really needs to kill their wife is the one who spent $1 million on the ivy motif inside of that fucking club. Because that was the story. The owner
or
the manager just said somebody's crazy wife had this crazy idea about opening this huge restaurant with this amazing stuff in it.
And I think they had done another one where it was a pyramid, but it was Egyptian inside, but it was also a magic club.
Is it fries?
Yeah, right.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah.
That's funny. No, but it was on the other side of Houston. Yeah.
It's incomprehensible to me that there's not 1,000 pictures of this on the internet because it was so bizarre and unusual.
Isn't it weird that comedians that just none of us didn't just get together and question it? Should we be doing that? You know, it's just, we're just like, all right.
Well, they never give you the... First off, you realize that when people are telling me shit I'm going to do that's further out than 3 weeks,
mm-hmm.
I'm always sort of half listening,
yes.
you know, like until they, you know, they go, you're going to be ripped from your lavish estate in Mexico and put on a Southwest flight and shoved to the corners of the earth.
You must have been furious.
Driven by a crazy promoter and then repeatedly raped in the green room. And you're like, okay, all right, when are we doing this? It's in 26 days. Oh, yeah, okay, whatever. And then it's always that same thing where like you're walking to the plane going, where? Oh, no, you're outside. You're sitting outside the plane. I am. Yeah, we told you. Like I didn't agree to. You agreed to all of this.
I love when they tell you that you agreed to all of this. Well, I trust you with my career because I think you would help me out, so I wouldn't have to think that far in advance and say no to it. Right.
Right.
No. Mike August should not be trusted with anything.
Right. Grab that.
No, we had a 5 a.m. meet and greet with some of the heavy hitters in the lobby of the hotel the night after the midnight show, and they're like, "When is this on the calendar?" Oh, it's on. It's been on the calendar. That it's on the calendar. By the way, that fucking calendar, man. It's on the calendar.
And then if you blank something out though, if you put I need this date to myself, right. They don't see that on the calendar.
No,
they never see that on the calendar.
I remember this. I remember very well. I also remember the sad. You know, everyone thinks like maybe an old car or cheap car is sad, but the saddest is the promoter had a really nice BMW 7 Series that he'd bought 19 years ago. He bought 19 years ago.
Things were going well.
Yeah, there's something sad about the luxury vehicle that is way the fuck past its time.
Yes.
And that's what we drove.
Was it that guy that said cha-cha a lot? Hey, cha-cha, cha-ba-cha-cha.
I've tried to, through therapy, I block the whole thing out of my
brain.
My
favorite part about comedy clubs is there's some comedy clubs that have great managers, and then there were comedy clubs, a lot of them, that mm-hmm. just happened to have the waitress that was a waitress last week is now the manager. Like they just go through them, and then they get mad at them. How did you not know how to run a club?
I would look at a coffee table book that just said, just entitled Green Room Sofa.
Oh, yeah.
Because
intriguing.
Nobody has ever made this proclamation.
Is that theaters included?
We have, yes. We have a green room in our comedy club. We must go out and purchase a sofa. Oh, no. That sofa is the product of divorce. You know, we had a sectional, and the whole thing's not going to fit. But if we did three parts of the sectional, we could shove it into this thing. And it's always the craziest. It doesn't fit, doesn't work. You sit in it, your ass touches the floor. Like, who's been doing what on this sofa?
It is
never, it's never a sofa that would work in that room. As a matter of fact, the rooms are way too small for a sofa. They just shove a sofa in there every time.
They're just extra rooms that they had that they turn into a green room. They take out the sink that used to clean mops.
Right, right.
Yeah.
I just got back from one of those.
I just Googled every combination of words, and I can't find anything. I looked on Yelp. I looked on TripAdvisor.
Wow. That's so weird. It was a Houston. Was it? But we're sure it was an improv.
It was absolutely an improv.
And we know we can't be mistaking two rainforests.
Google Houston Improv 2008.
Okay.
Yeah. See what happens. All right. We have an outro, by the way, for our bit that everyone is acutely aware of here, except for the guy who pushes the button.
Mad.
Well, not on you.
That was Ian Bagg's body bag.
I like it.
All right. I think we are under some sort of contractually obliged to play the intro and the outro. It's like, outro, intro, outro.
Well, it's a debut of a segment.
All right. Well, tell Brian next time.
You guys, I think you might be suffering from the Mandela effect because there's nothing on here. No images.
This is bizarre.
Oh, I'm gonna find it and send it in.
I'll buy you 60 seconds telling everyone about Tommy John this summer. Soak up the sun, not the sweat. Tommy John. It is a cool cotton fabric, 2 to 3 times cooler than regular cotton. Get a pair of new Tommy John underwear and let the buns breathe. This stuff is so good. It's so light. Dawson did the thing in Texas where he wore it in the swimming pool at 4 a.m. or something, then just hung it out and just put it on the next day.
Yep.
I do that all the time. And even if you go out for a long jog or hike or something, you work up a little lather, just wear them around and they'll just dry on you. Dozens of comfort innovations, breathable, lightweight, moisture wicking fabric, 4 times the stretch of competing brands. You'll never go back to what you're wearing once you hit Tommy John. It's the best pair you'll ever wear, or it's free. Guarantee. Right, Dawson?
Right now, get 20% off your first order at TommyJohn.com/Adam. Go to TommyJohn.com/Adam for 20% off. TommyJohn.com/Adam. Seaside for details.
I guess Ian and I should have taken pictures when we were there at the Houston Improv.
Yeah.
I think it would have been flip phones.
Probably. But also, it's like, you know, I'm sure the people that liberated Auschwitz didn't take a lot of pictures, you know, because they were so appalled at what was going on around them. Like, I couldn't believe this devastation that they were so traumatized.
I'm not even touching it.
Nope. All right. We got the we'll continue the quest. We got the news. We'll take a break. We'll do the news right after this. Hey, Geico, do you own? Do you rent? Well, you do one or the other, right? You know, it's hard work out there. Owning, renting. You want to save some money? How about you bundle? Bundle your policies at Geico. Geico makes it easy to bundle the homeowners or renters insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you got so much to do already. Go to geico.com, get a quote, see just how much you could save at Geico. That is geico.com today. That's geico.com.
It's hard to be cool stuff and blues. Adam's monthly nerd. Adam's monthly nerd.
You heard Dick. A new nut has arrived. July's nut has for you 2 ACS koozies to keep that thin can of seltzer cold in the ball-melting summer heat. Brother Artisan's CBD oil to keep you chill in the ball-melting summer heat. The Hangover Secret. A hangover cure to make sure that after a night of heavy drinking, you don't die the next day in the ball-melting summer heat. And, of course, a bottle of your choosing. Head to CorollaDrinks.com to sign up for 1 month or to keep the shipments coming. Prep your mails box for Adam's Monthly Nut.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gino Grad. Breaking
looting, viral, weird crime, protest, politics. Give me news with Gina Grass, the face on TMZ. Joe Biden, Kamala, big news with Gina, Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
Well, since Ian's here and we're talking a little murder mysteries, I'm happy to say CNN reports that a convicted serial killer known as the Dating Game Killer has died of natural causes early Saturday morning at a hospital near Corcoran State Prison in California. Do you remember this? Mm-hmm. The Dating Game Killer?
Yes, I
have pictures of him. Just put him up whenever. Rodney James Alcala. That's, you know, kind of a good looking guy on the dating game. He was 77. He's been on death row since 2010. How could that be, you ask, for a murder that he, a murder spree he started possibly 1979, possibly earlier? Well, I'll tell you. Alcala was first sentenced to death in 1980 for the 79 kidnapping and murder of a 12-year-old, but his conviction was reversed by the California Supreme Court. He was granted a new trial. He was sentenced to death again in 86 after a second trial, but that sentence was overturned by a federal appeals court in 2003. A third trial was granted. By the time of his third trial in 2010, Alcala's DNA had been connected to four other homicides, and Orange County jury convicted him of five counts of first-degree murder. By the way, they found suspects linked to him in four other states. And he did become this known as the Dating Game Killer because he was a contestant on the Dating Game in 78.
Suspects linked to him.
Murders linked to him.
Oh,
sorry.
Murders.
Yeah, sorry.
Linked to him.
Yeah, in four other
first
states.
First off, I have this sort of ledger. And you're either, you know, sort of paying taxes or you're taking taxes, you know. And I look at this, all society's just a giant ship, and you're either rowing, and some people aren't rowing that hard, other people aren't rowing at all, and then some people are just sitting out dragging their feet in the water, you know what I mean? How much do you think this one guy cost us? You know what I mean? It's like murder and then court, then overturned, and then the appeals. And like,
yeah, starting the murders?
You start,
Like including the murders because all the investigation that had to be done?
Yeah, you go like all the police work, the paperwork, all the forensic stuff. I mean, just millions and millions of dollars for one guy. Yeah. Here's the deal. Like, I feel the same way about. Murder. Ironically, I'll tie these two together. But I feel the same way about the death sentence, you know, capital punishment, as I do about abortion. Like, I'm not, you know, you want to do the first trimester, maybe the second, fine. If the kid's breaching, then no abortion for that. All right, seems sensible to me.
If his head's out, no.
And if you. You know, you come home from the Christmas party and it's raining outside and you had a few pops and you hit the bus boy who's riding the 10 speed with no reflectors across the street and you kill that guy. I don't want you put down for that. But once you start getting into abducting 12-year-olds and murdering them in the woods, then we'll go ahead and say you can be killed.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
Do you ever watch the first 48? Like, When they give them time, sometimes it's like, well, only 15 years. Like, they're guilty of murder and they only have to do 15 years. Like, it doesn't make sense to me.
Oh,
that doesn't.
Garagos will break that down in some way.
Yes.
There's always a reason for it, even though we don't understand it or possibly agree with it.
But
you guys can talk all the shit on Texas you want. This wouldn't have happened in Texas.
They call it, it's called case by case.
Ooh. Right.
You know what I mean? It's like,
they
literally,
go,
we'll just take it case
down.
By case. Like, you know.
You guys can take apart a comedy a comedy club, but let me tell you, they wouldn't have murdered
your
a murderer.
Fake rainforest idea.
I'm like, but I don't know how that fits in.
When they convict and say chair time, it's inside a week? Not 42 years?
I don't know. Yeah. I know Texas and Florida definitely take people down.
They got rainforest cafes to build.
I love a good it was Ted Bundy. Ted Bundy kept pushing stuff off and kept getting delays and whatever. And at a certain point, just before it was murder day. Also, I'm in love with this individual. There was a picture of a guy out front of the prison for the Ted Bundy thing when they put him down. And it said, today is Wednesday, but it's Friday, and he's spelled fry like fried bacon in a pan. Who is that guy? I'm like him arrested. Good sign. It's the middle of the week. Where were you? Don't have a job? Like, what's going on? So, but my favorite part is at the very end, Ted, who was, you know, a sociopath of the highest order, they were like, all right, well, we're going to put you in the electric chair tomorrow. And he's like, I don't think you want to do that because I know more. There's more cases and more bodies and more stuff, and I could tell you about where that is. And they're like, nah, we're good. We're just going to do this one.
Yep.
They're like, nah, we got enough.
I'm glad that he was trying to negotiate on his way to
good
the chair.
Him.
Yeah.
Smart guy.
Mm-hmm.
And beautiful.
Yeah.
He was a handsome man.
Is he the one that Zac Efron played in the movie?
I do also, like our societal conceit, which is he was good looking. He didn't have to murder. Well, using that logic, then all the pigs would have to murder. You
know what I mean? It'd be so much easier if we could just pick people out by the way they looked.
Danny DeVito would be leading law enforcement on
public
a tri-state. You know? Like every guy who was under a four would have to kill.
You wake up and Steve Buscemi's over you with a knife. Right. Like,
it's probably good because
Opie's brother.
Yeah, Clint Howard, the body count would be through the fucking roof.
You're so gentle as a boy.
It's just weird that he's not cast in every murder show. You're just like, how is he not getting every boy? Okay, anyways.
Oh, Clint, yeah. Sorry. Clint.
So this may be an interesting conundrum, not sure. So Chicago Mayor Lori Lightfoot is standing her ground on her decision to only speak to non-white reporters. But she's not apologizing, and she's certainly not trying to undo her words. Fox News reports that she said on the Sway podcast that the number of journalists of color covering her was unacceptable, and she declared she'd make the same decision again if she had to because of the conversation that it spurred. As a refresher on this story, Lightfoot announced earlier this year that she'd only grant one-on-one interviews to black and brown reporters upon the two-year anniversary of her taking office, scolding the Chicago media for its overwhelming whiteness. The host of the Sway podcast agreed on the diversity, but had an issue with her choosing who's allowed to cover her. Meanwhile, there's a guy named Gregory Pratt. He's a Latino journalist in Chicago, and he tweeted when this all happened, I'm a Latino reporter whose interview request was granted for today. However, I asked the mayor's office to lift its conditions on others, and when they said no, we respectfully canceled. Politicians don't get to choose who covers them.
She is one of the angriest, weirdest people in public life. Her fucking, she is so fucked up. She is so like crazed and weird and angry and zero reverse gear. Like does not, can't walk anything back, can't do the mea culpa, can't do any of it. It's just fucking steamrolls over everything.
I had high hopes for her. She's like really strong. She seemed like really strong, cool leader. She had ties with the police. You know, she seemed like she was going to be the one.
Yeah. Well, I don't know when her term is coming up, but
what do you think it went off the rails for her? When she got the power or before she got the power?
The haircut.
Yeah.
No, because she was saying, you know, she's allowed to get haircuts. No one else is. But then I think she backed down on that, too. But she seemed
she didn't. She just said, she had
during
someone,
the pandemic.
Yeah,
she said, I have to look good. But then she said something else weird, right?
Her weird statement. This is the part I always marvel at. I marvel at the things that are said that don't need to be said. Her weird statement when she was kind of caught because she's closing down all the salons, but she got her hair done, which, you know, everyone's going to do. Her first statement was, you know, I'm a public person. And I was like, okay. And then her next one is she went, and hygiene's really important to me.
Like, not the rest of you plebes in Chicago.
She did a bath while she's there too.
You didn't need to tack that one on. You just go, listen, I do a lot of press conferences. Yeah. I'm kind of the face of the city, and sorry if it seems hypocritical, but
it'd be great
it's
if somebody,
important
somebody wrote a book on how filthy she was. She never bathed before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Very let them eat cake. So we'll see what happens with that. New COVID
but
rules.
But also, I don't know who... Whose fault is it that there's not more black journalists? Like, there's this insane thing that everyone is equally attracted to professions. Like, I travel through LAX all the time. I see tons of LAX TSA people. Not a lot of Jews in that mix.
Oh.
light on the Asians. Mm-hmm. Just doesn't seem to be their thing. You know what I mean? Like, there's just different groups are into different stuff. I don't know why we need the full equity. But it also, the racist part of this whole fucking component is it suggests that the Hispanic guy couldn't cover your news because he's not black. You know what I mean? Like, this, the scariest part of this whole situation that we're in is like, well, you need a black police chief to understand black people or to interview black people. Or like, regular, a reporter is a good reporter, can just be a reporter, can just talk to her about her policy or do a piece on her, whatever it is. You don't have to be that person.
Well, just to clarify, just maybe I
and by the way, no one is her.
What do you mean?
She's crazy. Mm. Like, she's not going to find any simpatico. Well, her doppelganger, her doppelganger does not exist in the wild. There's nobody who's like her who should interview her.
She wants equal.
Just for clarity, this Latino reporter was allowed to do a one-on-one he's black and brown. But he said, are you going to open this to everybody?
Oh, that's right.
And he said, then you don't get to pick who covers you.
And now he's a hero to the white reporter.
That's right. That's right. the boot's been on him long enough, that poor guy. The NFL sent out a memo that could affect the 2021 season in a big way. The league lets the teams know that they would have to forfeit games and accept a loss if there is a coronavirus outbreak among unvaccinated players.
And if they can't reschedule the game, which that's the first option.
Instead of scrambling
if it can't be done, they're going to
find a field.
So last year, the NFL shuffled games, like you said, to keep things rolling. This year, it seems like there'll be no shuffling. Any game that doesn't get played because of coronavirus will also lead to players on both teams not getting their game checks.
Who's the most? I think the wideout, God damn it, for Houston?
You're talking
Texans.
Talk Cole Beasley?
No, not Beasley.
You're about DeAndre Hopkins?
Yeah.
He was on the Texans. Now he's on the Cardinals.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Now he wants
to
retire.
He's a pretty famous. I think he's a famous vaccine holdout.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He didn't.
There's the coach.
He tweeted something on the lines of, like, this is making me rethink my, you know, blah, 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 blah.
There's the coach. I think the line coach for the Vikings quit.
Yes. They didn't renew him or something. Yeah.
I heard he quit, but I don't know. Well, they said you got to get vaccinated, and he said, I quit. Strange. Or that was the story. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah, they parted ways. It's strange for a coach to quit during OTAs. That's very, very, very rare. But yes, they parted ways.
DeAndre Hopkins
tweeted
this. But
he didn't quit? Or what was it?
There's no official. No one knows. Perhaps it was a mutual, departure. But I'm saying that it's rare for a coach to quit during OTAs.
Football players.
No, it is,
but not if you say
you have to get a vaccine and then the guy goes, I quit.
Yeah.
I think that, I don't know, maybe we can find that story, Max Pan. It's a line coach.
All I saw was Schefter reported like he left. So-and-so leaves the team. So I don't know.
They could use it as a great thing to clean up how many coaches they need because I think they're overcoached. just start laying people off.
Players.
Yeah. I heard you didn't want to get the vaccine. I got the vaccine. No, you didn't. Get out of here.
You're out. DeAndre Hopkins tweeted, never thought I would say this, but being put in a position to hurt my team because I don't want to partake in the vaccine is making me question my future in the NFL.
Hmm. Well, there's one solution.
Rick Dennison was the guy, was the line coach.
Never trusted him.
But now I need to know. Anyway.
How they did that. Go ahead. Angelina Jolie has scored a major legal victory in this custody battle with Brad Pitt that
I don't feel like
will not
she's
end.
Still
going
I don't feel like she could be vaccinated with a regulation syringe. I feel like it would come out the other side of her arm.
Mr. Burns, it would go straight through.
Yeah, I feel like
she needs a butterfly needle.
Well, do they have like a junior one for the kids?
They do. It's called a butterfly needle or baby needle.
Pansy.
I feel like she needs that one. Yeah, there's just not enough meat on those bones.
Yeah, you're right. It would go right through. She demanded that the judge in the case be removed because of a conflict of interest. She got her wish. The California Court of Appeal has ruled that Judge John Ouderkirk is out, according to Us Magazine. The removal means that the custody agreement could be tossed and the proceedings could start over. This has been going on for 5 years, and the kids are now 13
Only
to 19
five?
Years old.
I would imagine much longer than that.
13 to 19?
Yes. So if they start over, who cares? They're all adults. Yeah. Brad has been granted joint custody of the six kids despite Angie's objection.
Ooh, Angie.
The source had once said she will never forgive him. She maintains it's far from over and still believes that justice will prevail.
Yeah, you got to watch out for the hot chicks that hate their dads.
Yeah. Oh, very publicly.
Yeah, that's a problem.
That little vial of blood around her neck that she used to wear. That's you know you're going to have divorce problems with that one for sure. That's like
Billy Bob dodged a bullet.
Oh, yeah,
so good
there.
So good.
Yeah.
Why was he kicked off though? Why did she want the judge kicked off?
I don't know. There was some sort of the lawyer decided there was some sort of conflict of interest between something he had overseen with Brad Pitt or something.
He tweeted found a way to how get much this. He loved Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Right.
So you can't be impartial.
They weren't a fan of this judge and they got him removed.
Really?
Yeah, but it took a whole lot of years. Oh, so good luck to the happy couple.
I can't figure her out. Like, is she the world's greatest humanitarian or just like batshit crazy
she's
and vindictive?
An ambassador. And... Well, she could be
two
that way.
Could to be
the,
true.
Yeah, to the masses and then different in the relationship for sure.
I feel like, I don't know Brad Pitt, but I feel like we've all signed off that he likes architecture. He smokes a lot of spleef and seems pretty. He's pretty, pretty chillaxed dude.
Yeah,
yeah,
okay. Seems all right.
Yeah,
from Missouri.
Oh yeah,
he's a Midwesterner.
I don't know. From the Ozarks. Don't trust him.
Close, actually.
Really?
Him and Melissa Etheridge, and there's a whole team that's from there.
There's a whole suburban coming from there.
That's right.
Well, I got that thing going, but with North Hollywood.
What do you mean?
You and the North Hollywood crew?
It's me. It's Christy Canyon.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Eric Kramer.
The Eric Kramer. Yeah, I mean, we got our own.
On.
We got our own clique.
And
you
on.
Know what I mean?
It's quite the cul-de-sac.
We network, you know what I mean?
Christy Canyon. That's awesome.
Oh, yeah. Old friends.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Man.
North Hollywood girl.
Oh, yeah.
Trejo.
This is awesome.
All the greats.
All the greats.
Trejo.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah.
Pacoima, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I just heard an interview with Bryan Cranston.
He's Cranston, Canoga
Park, right?
Chatsworth. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, it's getting out there now.
Yeah, so now we've all raised the bar.
Yeah,
that's right.
Thank you.
Okay, Jonathan Lipnicki. Does that name sound familiar? Yeah.
Giant head.
Yes, Brian. Tell
From
us who it
Jerry
is.
Maguire.
Yeah, the former child
kid,
star.
The
yeah, the
man.
Little one has joined a group of martial artists in L.A. to protect Orthodox Jews on Shabbat as they walk to and from synagogue. So he was in Jerry Maguire.
He was excellent in Jerry Maguire. He was legit, good. He put in a good performance.
Yeah, and he's now a black belt in jiu-jitsu. He's trying to combat incidents like, what happened at the sushi restaurant in West L.A. where a group of men attacked a group of Jewish diners. A rabbi almost got run over at a synagogue. A little kid got shot with paintballs. A little out of control. And here's what Jonathan, who I think is standing out front of a synagogue when this was recorded, I think, by TMZ. Here's what he thinks his presence does.
Bullies of any sort. Or people who, promote hatred don't like when there's a presence there. And I think having a presence is a huge deterrent, and I'm glad that people's eyes have been opened about the Asian community. I think there are a lot of communities that don't get enough support. The Armenian community, I think that if you don't stand against all hate, you don't stand against any.
Good for him.
You cannot, nobody, do people attack the Armenian community?
I'm curious about
those guys. They wear so much fucking cologne that there's an actual force field that you can't, between the cigarette smoke and the cologne, you get within 12 feet of them, your eyes start burning.
You can try to swim through it, but good luck.
They have their own cloud of pepper spray they walk around in, like Linus or Pig Ben. Like, you can't get here. Now, another Armenian who, of course, is immune to this.
He could penetrate the
bubble, but
yeah,
no.
Used car dealership versus used car dealership could go ahead.
Right. But your average street, Doug, you can't get near an Armenian. No chance.
He looks more like the kid from Arrested Development than he does himself.
Michael Cera?
Right? Yeah.
Kinda, yeah.
Looks like a good-looking version of him.
Yeah.
So, all right.
Yeah,
good on him.
Yeah,
good for him.
He's trying to protect the Orthodox.
Let's do one more,
all
Gina
right.
Brand.
Let's see here. Let's find you a good one. Oh, here we go. Let this be a warning to every man in this studio.
Thanks for looking at me.
Every man listening to this right now.
Okay.
A man in Japan has nearly died after suffering a stroke moments after ejaculating while masturbating. Metro.com reports that the unidentified 51-year-old suffered thunderclap headaches and began vomiting, was rushed to the hospital. Doctors said the man, who was single, masturbated several times a day and began to feel very ill very quickly, had to go to the hospital. He was disoriented, had low blood pressure. His medics recognized these were symptoms of a stroke. How
do we know he was beating off?
I feel like he maybe made that known several times a day. They had to ask.
But when, like, if I ever have a stroke beating off in the paramedics show off, I'm like, what happened?
Mr. Grohl, what are you doing?
Gardening.
What happened?
Should we push pause on this?
Why are you pants around your ankles if you're a gardener?
Hey, you garden how you want to garden. I'll garden how I want to garden, all right? But
Claire.
I was gardening.
He's got a green thumb.
Yeah.
They probably, one of the questions is probably, were you engaged in sexual activity? Because you could have a heart attack. I'm just guessing.
Mm-hmm.
But he could have said, yeah.
Oh, is that how we talked?
It's possible. The report goes on to say that strokes can be triggered by this kind of physical exertion.
Strokes can be triggered by strokes.
But also result from something as innocuous as coughing or going to the bathroom. So
good luck, everyone.
Done doing that.
I coughed while I was gardening. Now just write that in your fucking report and let's get on with it.
Pull my pants up.
What are thunderclap headaches?
Oh, I don't know. I don't want one.
That's a great name for a wrestler.
Yeah.
Yeah, that is could be the best.
Yeah.
Didn't Neil Young play with thunderclap and
Crazy Horse?
And Crazy Horse.
An old blues singer.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
What culture do you think masturbates not the most, but at the highest RPM?
Almost vigorously?
Yeah, I got Japan toward
time?
The top of my list.
Interesting.
I got parts of Africa and Mexico down at a lower clip.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
See, I see.
In the afternoon.
You Canadians, you're all right. You're somewhere in the middle.
Ooh. I'm thinking like a cold culture, you know what I mean? Get it in, get it out.
Yeah.
Because it's freezing. You don't expose yourself.
The more work you do, like North Koreans get it done quick because they have to get back.
That's true.
Work.
Mm-hmm.
You're under the gun.
No before, yeah. Before the leader sees them.
Right. Look that up, Chris.
Dear leader.
Well, find
Dear
me if leader. That Viking coach quit or if he just walked off. And then find me which culture masturbates.
Most vigorously.
Most frequently. Highest RPM.
Highest RPM.
All right. I'll
okay.
If
you can,
I would imagine it's a studious culture. You know, like somebody that's, if you get really high grades, you want to get something done quicker. It's like an achievement.
Well, I think we have to factor
in. You take your time.
We have to factor in hog size.
No, I have here. Been.
We have to factor it in.
I know.
Because it's anyone who works with engines knows there's a bore and a stroke, and the longer the stroke,
it's a very small piston.
Lower RPM situation over there.
Right when you mentioned the countries that don't, I picked up what you're putting down.
Yeah, but I don't think of Mexico as a big dong culture. I just find them like a little more laid back. You know?
You also have to factor in the oppressiveness of the oppressive nature of a country, and I think that would put North Korea in there because you got to get it out quick.
Yeah, that's what he said. Yeah. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. We've Rick Dennison, the coach, is not officially out yet.
Yeah, I mean, he hasn't made it official, but a lot of sources are saying that he will be leaving. And then Cole Popovich of the Patriots, offensive line coach, he's leaving because of the COVID-19 requirement.
But Rick Dennison said, I'm not getting vaccinated, so the writing's on the wall. Is that what the story looks like?
Yeah, exactly. Everyone's just saying that they're in talks, but there's no official word yet.
Wow.
All right, should we bring it home, Gina Grad?
Let's do it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Cow blood soup. Gina
Grad! That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right, middle but not least, J.B. Weld. J.B. Weld, world's strongest bond. Pros have trusted it for over 50 years. But why hire a pro when you can work like a pro with J.B. Weld? We're proud to have J.B. Weld Epoxy Adhesive on as a sponsor. I personally know the owner. Hung out with these guys in SEMA a few years back in Vegas. Gina just took some of my J.B. Weld stash, doing a little work in her place. What are you working on?
I use J.B. Weld, which I purchased myself because I knew it was a good product, back when our dining room chair pads were coming loose.
Mm-hmm.
And I fixed it, no problem, beautiful. Well, now there's another dining room chair pad coming loose, and I need to do it again.
Well, I fixed Sonny's tennis shoe with some J.B. Weld. I fixed some stonework in front of my house with J.B. Weld, and I fixed Natalia's weird freezy roller
the
thing.
The cold roller.
I will not commit to memory. J.B. Weld also acquired a Herculiner, the original DIY truck bed liner. So if If you're looking for the world's strongest bond, you go JB Weld, right, Dawson?
JB Weld is available at jbweld.com, Home Depot, Lowe's, Walmart, AutoZone, Advance Auto Parts, Napa, O'Reilly, Amazon, Michaels, and more. And remember, JB Weld epoxy products are proudly made in the USA. JB Weld, world's strongest bond.
All right. Plug for Ian Baggs, Sword and Scale Rewind, official after show of the True Crime Podcast, Sword and Scale. And hosted with our own, or co-hosted with our own, Matt, the Porcelain Punisher, Fondelier. It's available wherever you listen to podcasts. And ianbag.com is the website. Go there and find out when he's going to be at the Houston Improv. Jesse Waters coming in next. We'll take a quick break. Be right back after this.